revolution.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, I'm here with Leo Mullen, CEO of Navigation Arts. How are you, Leo?
I'm great, John. Thank you for having me.
You know, I've heard about Leo's company for many years. You know, my little organization works in the back end. We're kind of like the heavy lifters. And Leo's company gets to be in the front end and showcase all his skills. And I've been in three or four different organizations, and they've had nothing but good things to say about Navigation Arts. And that's why I wanted to get him in. I know many of my listeners are federal IT professionals, and they look at their website and they go, well, or the phrase today is MEH. Meh. It's like, well, you know, it's not very good. And what are the principles behind having a good website? And I thought we'd bring Leo in. He could share some of the successes, maybe some of the experiences that Navigation Arts has had. And my listeners can benefit from tapping his brain for the next half hour. But before we begin, I'd just like to find out, Leo, maybe a little bit about your general background and how you wound up working for Navigation Arts or running Navigation Arts.
Well, I'm actually the co-founder and CEO of Navigation Arts. And John, the best way to think about it is I'm a serial entrepreneur. I'm always in the position of trying to be looking around the corner and seeing trends before they fully materialize. I have built and run two previous technology consulting firms, both of which were focused on information management solutions. I actually created my first internet company back in 1993 and sold that in 1999 at the top of the dot-com frenzy. And I took about a year off retirement, and most of that time was spent stepping back and really watching this tsunami wave that we had worked around and prepared for all during the 1990s, but watching this wave actually start to hit and seeing the vast amount of application functionality that organizations were now migrating from the desktop to the web. Everyone really wanted to drive their customers to the web. They wanted to get them out of their call centers. They wanted to get them out of their branch offices. And as we watched, many of the businesses that were trying to expose their applications or business functionality online, we saw literally billions of dollars being spent in your area, in the back end, in the hardcore technology, without any focus really on the user and the kinds of experiences that users really wanted to have and ought to have when they interacted with those systems.
And I guess if Steve Jobs has taught us anything, perhaps he's taught us that we may want to consider the user interface. Are there some guidelines for deploying coherent, user-friendly websites, Leo?
Yeah, and I think that Jobs understands this probably better than any businessman in America. The key to a very, very successful web presence, like the key to any other successful product, is build it around the roles and goals of the users who need to interact with that system. And it is a very simple principle, but it is surprisingly difficult for many organizations to actually implement that in their environment.
So if you're a federal IT professional listening to this program 2 months from now at 2 o'clock in the morning while you're sending out email and you're looking at your website, you're trying to figure out, well, how can I make it more user-friendly? Are there any metrics that one can use? Can you compare websites through any kind of measurable differences?
Yeah, we measure all sorts of dimensions of the web, and actually that's one of the real strengths of the web, is it allows kind of real-time chronic measurement of whatever is happening in that environment. We really like to look at the users who are coming into the site to understand where they're coming from. We want to look at the repeat visitors. We want to understand what kinds of users can actually routinize the use of this web platform in their daily lives. We want to look at their dwell time. We look at their pathways. We look at and measure the points of abandonment. And around those points of abandonment, we put a lot of time in focusing on what we call objection handling techniques. If there's a reason to abandon, maybe there's a reason that we can keep somebody there longer.
If you look at the statistics, talking about metrics, Facebook has risen past Google in popularity. I mean, everyone's talking about Facebook and social media, and I think with the federal government, you have to be careful with social media. But I imagine there are some guidelines that you can share with us for effectively using social media in a government website.
Yeah, there are, and I think that one of the things that you have to do is you have to step back a little bit and understand that when a lot of people talk about Web 2.0, that is a catch-all for a lot of things that includes social media. But one of my beliefs is that, you know, that fundamentally Web 2.0 and social media are really not about the technologies. They include blogs and wikis and widgets and RSS, but Web 2.0 is not about technology. It is really about acknowledging the way that human beings interact and collaborate with each other. And it's also about the fact that most large organizations, federal agencies, prima facie case here, they're actually structured and governed in ways that constrain the natural tendencies that human beings have to communicate with each other. So Web 2.0 is really about organizing people without organizations. And I think the implications of this are enormous for government as they are for businesses in the commercial sector.
One challenge that many of my listeners face is not only trying to incorporate social media, which, of course, President Obama is kind of pushing pretty carefully. It's also portable devices. And I mean, it's like, well, when does it end? You spend 3 years trying to understand social media and social technology, and then your boss says, okay, now, Leo, now we have to make it mobile-friendly.
Yeah.
And with all the constraints of government sites as well. Very challenging, isn't it?
It's enormously challenging. And in answer to your question, John, it doesn't ever end. It's like the old
it's
Nike.
Not going to be over?
There is no finish line.
Make it end.
Well, but what's interesting now, I have been in the web world since 1993, and I have never seen the web changing and metamorphosizing nearly as fast at any point in that time as it is today. It is astounding how rapidly and how fundamentally that change is happening. And you talk about mobile devices. I mean, I think right now, if you do not have a coherent mobile strategy vis-a-vis your web, you are marginalized for all intents and purposes. And especially if you are trying to reach and retain relationships with younger demographics, you need to acknowledge that the interaction device of choice for many of those demographics are mobile handheld devices.
We're going to have to take a quick break when we come back. We're talking a little bit more about engaging citizens. Well, if President Obama wants your agency to engage citizens, how can you use your website to accomplish that noble task? You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Leo Mullen, CEO of Navigation Arts.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on The Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the Go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Leo Mullen, who's the CEO of Navigation Arts. We're talking about navigating websites. If you'd like to have more information, you can get out your phone or I guess could fire up your computer and go to navigationarts.com. Before the break, we talked about engaging citizens and having a federal website that would be user-friendly as well as friendly for Web 2.0 and social media applications. Leo, can you give our listeners maybe some guidelines on best practices for using website with social media?
Yeah, I think that's a hugely important topic these days. It's one of the things that we are asked to advise on more than just about anything else. I think it's important to understand, John, that first the functions of social media are completely congruent with the goals of a citizen-centric web. And so that's a wonderful thing when you see what the new administration is doing vis-a-vis web technologies, that social media plays a very big part of that. But you need to understand and actually prepare for the fact that the most important activities on the web having to do with social media are actually happening outside of your site domain. And that means outside of your ability to really control those things. A lot of agencies that we see are using social media tools with great success. And I see a great deal of this at the State Department. NASA has been a leader in it. The Smithsonian Institution is another leader. But many agencies are not using these tools, either because of a perceived or real lack of resources. Sometimes it's cultural resistance. Sometimes it's perceived legal barriers. And there are varying interpretations within the federal government today around what is and is not allowed. And some agencies don't yet understand how the tools can actually help their mission. So for many agencies, they view the use of social media as a technology issue instead of as a communications tool. And management decisions are often based solely on technology considerations. So in many cases, the focus is more on what can't be done rather than what can be done. And the default approach from our point of view should be openness and transparency. And for this reason, agencies need to be prepared that the decision to use social media will have important cultural implications in terms of how they structure themselves and how they work.
I think from many different aspects, you have this top down where Obama is saying, hey, you got to engage citizens. You have to use the Web 2.0. You have to use wikis. You have to. And then you get from the bottom up. Also, I mean, if you're working for an agency now, in 4 or 5 years, the young people who are applying for jobs to the federal government working there are not only going to expect social media be part of their work environment, they're going to be shocked if it isn't. I mean, they're going to expect it to be part of parcel of just how they live.
Exactly. And what social media is really doing, John, is it is helping a lot of these interactions take place outside of the agency website. Right. So a big part of what we think organizations need to focus on is how do you prepare your content so that it can be portable into social networks? You want to get the content out to where the audiences are that have the most use of that content, and a lot of times they're not coming into your website to get it. So the content management systems have to really be able to atomize the content, store it in smaller units, in smaller modules, and then allow those pieces of content to be posted to Facebook, or if it's a piece of video content, it's on YouTube. It can have it can be then distributed through viral interactions, and that's where the content really can have the most impact and the most force.
You know, earlier I talked about the rise of Facebook, but parallel with the rise of Facebook is the rise of accessing Facebook on handheld devices. And so we're going to have citizens who are going to want to access a federal agency's website on a handheld device and get specific information, whether it's emergency information, whether it's information about taxes. That's going to be what is going to be required.
Exactly. And a lot of agencies still block their employees from using sites like YouTube or Facebook or even Wikipedia. And they you know, they make a couple of arguments, and the argument, there are important arguments, but I think there are ways to get around some of these issues. You know, they talk about security. IT security specialists feel that some of these high traffic sites pose a greater risk for the presence of malware or spyware or things like that. A lot of agencies claim that employees are going to waste time, but this is the same argument that has been used to say, you know, employees shouldn't have access to phones or to email. There are ways to manage employees around the time-wasting issue. And there are real legitimate concerns around bandwidth, especially when you look at sites that are who are interacting with YouTube that can consume a considerable amount of bandwidth. But it's one of those infrastructure concerns that really needs to be part of the long-range strategic planning, like any of the other tools that you use for communication with the citizens.
We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, I thought we'd touch on a couple topics that you mentioned earlier. One, I think, is designing a website and have considerations for security, and talk about some of the constraints and some of the regulations. And then I think usability has to be addressed. If we're considering usability for mobile users, we have to consider people who have disabilities and access for that. It's a skill set that is almost like you need a plumber skill set, an electrician skill set, a carpenter skill set. And oh, by the way, can you bake a cake? Creating a website today is almost maybe a Leonardo da Vinci would be the guy to have to design a website for a federal agency now. It's just so challenging. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I have my guest today, Leo Mullen, who is the CEO of Navigation Arts. Before the break, we talked about websites and user experience and mobile devices and Web 2.0. And you know, here we are in the Washington, D.C. area, down to the Capitol. You have the architect of the U.S. Capitol, don't you? Well, guess what? I guess Navigation Arts is the architect of the user experience. Is that right, Leo?
That is exactly right. It's a tag we've been using a long time, and it has served us well.
Yeah, it kind of works. So what you do is if someone's trying to design a house, you figure out where to put the kitchen, the front door, and the bedroom. But with designing a website, it's the same principle, but it's slightly different, isn't it? It's organizing things correctly.
It is, and I think it's important, John, to note that today when people are interacting with you through your website, they are much less concerned about what the website looks like, and they are very, very focused on the quality of the experience that they have in interacting with you. And simple, coherent, easy interactions make a great experience, and confusing and complicated interactions lead to a bad experience. So we focus our efforts on helping organizations, in many cases, get out of their own way so that they can deploy the kind of experience that their users want. Really, a couple of things that are important there. One is the requirements, understanding the business outcomes for the organization and understanding equally the outcomes that users want from the site. Then there's a very robust design activity where you really consider a lot of alternative approaches. How do you know what is the right approach? When you're doing this, well, you bring the users in and you interact with those users and you let them evaluate designs as they are being done. So we believe that this user testing has to be episodically employed across the entire design cycle so that you are really getting the voice of those users as part of this design.
I've been struggling for a word. Is it a phase? Is it an iteration? Is it an episode, episodically? I think that's a pretty easy to say, but difficult to actually to use. It's tough because you almost have to be ready to commit and then change and pivot. It's very difficult, but how else can you find out what the user experience is unless you test it?
That's exactly right. And you have to have a platform underneath you, a technology platform that allows that rapid iterative change. Because the rate of change that we're seeing now will be slow compared to what we're seeing in 3 or 5 or 10 years from now. So organizations need to be able to develop that agility, that ability to redeploy what they're doing very quickly, very effectively. On a moment's notice.
There are some people who think developing software is like pouring concrete. You get the forms, pour the concrete, go to the next driveway, get the forms, pour the concrete. No. Maybe in 1982 this was the case, but look in the last 6 or 8 months. I mean, the requirements for a website back in January have to change here in June, July, and it's going to change in 6 months. And what's going to be the next handheld device? Is it going to be an iPad? Is it going to be, who knows what it's going to be? No one really knows, but you have to, in fact, what I tell people, you have to embrace change. You have to expect it.
You have to embrace it, and that's hard. The largest challenges that any organization faces around the web are not technology. They have to do with culture. They have to do with how organizations structure themselves and govern the platform that they deploy their web content through.
So when you architect a solution, you start at the end. You start at what the goals and objections are, and then you come up with an iterative process where you're going to say, well, in 6 weeks, in 30 days, we're going to come up with a sample screen and see what you like, and then judge a reaction, then pivot and move from there, all the while expecting changes in technology. It's instead of pouring concrete, it's like a slip form pour where you're pouring as the forms are moving.
Exactly.
Because that's the only way to respond.
And sometimes, John, we'll actually deploy three alternative designs on the web simultaneously. We'll direct user one goes to design one, user two goes to design two, and so on. And we rate those individual designs. It's a very Darwinian approach. And the winner persists, and the others go away, and then we bring new designs up to challenge. So we use that kind of A-B approach, especially in a lot of the e-commerce work that we do.
Yeah, that's an old marketing term from back in the 70s when people tried different magazine ads, wouldn't they? They have one with a guy in a blue shirt, a guy in a white shirt, and then see who got the most response and keep the guy in the blue shirt and move on from there.
Yep. Exactly.
We just have a couple minutes left here. Let's direct some comments to my listeners. We have a lot of listeners who are maybe listening in headphones, and maybe it's November, and they Googled Navigation Arts, and they're listening to Leo here. What kind of, maybe in a nutshell here, what do you think the best practice could be for them to try to make a good usable website?
Well, the single most important thing that they can do is look at the structure of their website and make sure that that structure is an exact map of the structure of the users who are coming to the site. So the site architecture needs to look like the array of site users rather than looking like the organization's, the chart that hangs on the wall.
Take that chart and throw it out and
start over.
Yeah, kind of wash your brain and put a digital angle to it. This is a great interview on website design. We'd have to end it right now here. You have been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Leo Mullins, CEO of Navigation Arts, and they are the architects of the user experience.
Thank you, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Here's Dennis Tolliver, Blade Specialist, Hewlett-Packard, on how to jumpstart your desktop virtualization initiative, sponsored by GTSI, Citrix, Microsoft, and HP.
So on the desktop virtualization, if you go to a thin client, it's very much like a PC, but no moving fans, no hard drives. That consumes a lot less power. And because whenever you use less power, you give off less heat, it's good for the bottom line of the company. It consumes less power. You don't pay for that power.
To listen to the whole program, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Looking to cut your data center costs while maintaining your level of service? With a virtualization solution from GTSI, your IT becomes more efficient. Application deployment is accelerated. Services are more predictable. And upfront planning results in increased long-term savings. GTSI. One mission. Yours. For more information, visit gtsi.com.
Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes.
I'm Jason Miller, and I'm